Be'ezus Hashem Yisboch, we begin at Perka Ba'asa, the 24th chapter in the Rambam, Sichas Sanhedrin, in the Sefer Shevet, the Book of Judges, where we continue the theme regarding the obligation to judge righteously, where in this Perka we actually discuss regarding exceptions from the law itself. As Rambam gives halacha regarding that we go based on the logic and the evaluation of the opinions of the judge. Yesh l'dayin law de medina mamnas. A judge could judge regarding monetary law, according to the things, where his intelligence is inclined to say that it's true. And it's strong in his heart, he's getting this gut feeling that this is the way it is, although there's no clear proof. Now, let me know to say that if he knows definitively that it's like this, that he could judge based on what he knows. If someone, in regarding the regular process in court, is liable for an oath. Now, vamla dain. Now, someone tells a judge, someone that the judge considers trustworthy, that his opinion usually relies on that person's words, tells him, that this person that's supposed to take the oath is chashad al shvua, he's suspect regarding lying in under oath. So yesh l'dayin lapech ha-shvua she-connected. So the judge could go ahead now and flip the oath onto the opposing litigant, the claimant. He could swear v'yishav v'yitel, swear and collect. Why? Because since the judge is reliant on the words of this other person, he could make it that although generally the guy could just swear and get himself off the hook, no, you're not trusted, and he gives it over to the plaintiff. And if he's a isha or eved neman mitzlay, even if it's a woman or a slave that's trustworthy by him, who we don't even allow in the laws of Eidus, since ultimately for the judge, he finds this very strong and appropriate in his feelings, he can rely on this and he can judge. Now, to say, if he knows on his own that this guy's suspect, for sure he could judge based on that. Let's say there's a promissory note, there's a document that comes in front of the judge. Now, a person tells the judge that he relies on, even if it's a woman or relative, which again are invalid for testimony, this document has been paid up. So if the judge relies on that person's words, he can tell this person, although generally you have a document you can collect, no, you can only collect if you swear to that effect. Or if let's say there was in the borrower, there was a document of debt that he owed to someone else, he's going to give it to the one that his document has not been deficient at all, that no one has ever contested to say that it's paid up. But he's going to leave this one, that is a little bit deficient, again, because of the words of this one person. Or what he will do is, he'll just throw the document in front of the person. He won't tear it up, but he just won't allow him to collect with it. Because it's possible he'll go to another court that won't rely on this invalid witness and will collect with it. But this judge, but he's not going to judge with it according to what he sees fit. So if someone comes along and he claims that he has a deposit by somebody that died without leaving a will, so people don't know that it's really his, that he deposited by that person. And he gives identifying features of that object. And moreover, now this guy was claiming that it was his, wasn't ruggly kunis b'bayi shemes. It wasn't someone that was always coming in and out of the house of the person who died, because if he was, then yeah, of course you know the identifying features, because you always used to see when you visited his house. So in addition, if the judge knows that this one who passed away is not so wealthy, to really have such an object, and he's reliant on this idea that, you know, it doesn't seem like this object is from the one who passed away, the judge could extract it from the inheritors, and could give it to the one who is affluent, and they gave identifying features that it says, anything that's similar like this. Because this is not given over, only according to the feelings of the judge, according to what it appears to him, that's the true judgment. Same Cain, the question is, if we go based on the feelings and the gut of the judge, why is the Torah require two witnesses to verify things? Because that at a time when two witnesses do come in front of a judge, then he will judge based on their testimony, when he doesn't know if what they're testifying is true or not. But two witnesses come along, that's what saying, yeah, because if he knows, we go based on what his feelings are. But if he doesn't know, two witnesses say, we go based on what they're saying. Now, halacha beis. However, kol elo advarim heim ikra din. All this that we said is the primary judgment. But when it was an increase of courts that were inappropriate, and even those judges that were appropriate in their actions, but in chacham kero balabina, they're not so wise and sagacious and men of understanding. So from that point onward, his scheme of bate din Yisrael, that it was the agreement amongst the majority of the courts of the Jewish people, that they shouldn't have this allowance of taking the oath from the defendant and put it onto the claimant, unless we have a clear proof that the defendant is someone that's suspected regarding oaths. And so to believe Kamushtar is going through the cases that we described. You shouldn't create any deficiency in the document. You see the cheskasa that it should lose its presumption, with the testimony of a woman or someone who's invalid. And so to regard all of the judgments, we don't rely on a woman or someone who's possible. And so too, we don't have anymore that a judge will just judge based on what he's surmising something to be, not just with his own knowledge. The reason why is so that you shouldn't have any simpleton come along and say, oh, yeah, that's how you could judge. My heart believes the words of this person, and my intelligence relies on this. Again, you have to be a man of truth to be able to do that. Since there are people that are not, so they stopped at. So that we don't extract from orphans, which was also the latest story that we brought in Halacha Aleph, unless we have a clear proof, not just with the understanding of the judge, and not by evaluating who the one who died, or from the claimant. Now, even so, although we're saying that they stopped these things, so if there is a trustworthy person who does testify regarding any one of these things, but not sadayim, and the judge is inclined that the person is saying truth, but again, there's only one person. So then he waits with the judgment. And he doesn't just reject out of hand his testimony, but and he goes and he has this discourse with the litigants until they admit to the words of the witness. Or yes, I'm sure they make some type of a compromise. Or the judge will just recluse himself from the judgment because he knows that that's true, but he just can't judge based on that, and therefore he just excuses himself from judging. Halacha Gimel goes further on this. What happens when there's a judgment that he knows is deceitful? From what do we know regarding a judge? Let's say he knows that the judgment, based on the letter of the law that has to pass, but he realizes it's deceitful. Shulayimi shouldn't say, okay, look, I will go ahead and hand down the verdict. Via Koiler, Tolibitabraedim, let the chain hang from the necks of the witnesses. In other words, it's their fault. Two witnesses, you have to believe them, even though he knows that they're lying, but that's what the halacha says, that you go based on the witnesses. Tamalemitzah says in Pasig and Shemais Midvashekatechag, from a falsehood you should be distant. So Ketziah, so what should he do? So Yiddish boy, the Yachgar Harbe, so what he should do is he should seek and he should analyze very much, Bedrisha v'chakir shodin nefashos, just like they analyze and ask questions regarding capital punishment. Although this is not, but they're very, very, very meticulous in the questioning. Here also, im niraloi, he shows it, go ahead and ask such questions. Now, im niraloi lefi daita shein b'demos, now if it ultimately appears to him, according to his understanding, that there's no deceit, after all his questions, he realizes, okay, there's not a problem. Then he will decide the judgment based on the witness's testimony. But if, let's say, his heart is still banging inside of him, he's nervous, he feels like there's something deceitful over here. Or he's just not really, doesn't feel so confident in the words of the witnesses, although he cannot invalidate them. Or let's say his opinion is inclined, that litigant is deceitful and he's a cunning person. And that Vahishes Adam, that he probably seduced the witnesses, although they're really upstanding people, but and they're really saying testimony innocently, but the litigant is misleading them. Or it appears to him, from whatever is being said, that there are other things that are not being said, that are being hidden. They don't want to reveal that to him. So all these types of things, and the things that are similar to this, then he's not allowed to go ahead and pass a verdict on this judgment. He should move himself from judging this case. And someone who feels very complete and confident, only that person should judge such a case. And these things are given over to the heart of the judge, where it's not really clear. He could say, oh, this is what the judgment is, but if he knows and it's deceitful, that this is only he knows. Because of him, the pasuk says, "In Devarim, ki hamishpat l'elokim hu, the judgment is for God. Let God do what He has to do. Don't do it based on what you think you have to do. If you don't, if you feel it's deceitful, then remove yourself." Halacha Daled continues regarding the remedy for communal purposes and regarding the powers that the courts are invested with. So yesh lebezin lahalkis misha in mechuyev malkis. The courts could actually give lashes to someone who's not halachically obligated in lashes. But laharig misha in mechuyev misa, and to execute someone who's not actually liable for death. Now, v'loy lava libertarian, not because they're coming to violate the word of the Torah, which forbids it, elalasas yag l'Torah, rather if they're coming to make a fence, a boundary, for the words of the Torah. And that is v'kibin shirdoim bezdin shaparts ombadava. Once the courts see that there's a breach of the people in a certain area of halacha, yeshlam ligdur l'chazakadava, they should create a boundary and to strengthen this thing, k'fima shiyarolem, whatever it seems according what it needs for them. Hakol ha-rasha, again, all this is a temporary ruling. It's not that they should go ahead and establish the halacha for future generations based on what's just necessary in the moment. Now, Maisa, there was a story of Hilku Adam, and they gave lashes to a person, Shabal Ishta Tachasilan, that he cohabited with his wife beneath a tree, which halachically does not mandate Malkus, but it's something that's promiscuous, and therefore they wanted to enforce the concept of Tznias. There was a story where one person, that he was riding on a horse on Shabbos in the days of the Greeks, which is rabbinic. The Yiviu the Bezin of Skalu, and they brought him to court and they stoned him to death. Again, because it was necessary. Umaisa, and there was a story about Tola Shem ben Shetach. Shem ben Shetach came and he went and he hanged Shmeinim Noshim, B'yemechad Ashkelon, 80 women on one day in Ashkelon. And B'lohoyusham, they didn't go through Kol Derech HaDrisha B'chakir HaVascha, they didn't go through all the ways of investigations and inspections and warnings, B'libeid Zbruda, now it's even a clear proof, a clear testimony. Rather, it was a momentary ruling according to what he saw fit, because the Jewish women at that time were very breached in sorcery, and these women were sorceresses, and he hung them to publicize the great sin, and he judged them all in one day, even though you're not supposed to do two in one day, because of the relatives, as they shouldn't go ahead and try to plot and save the rest of those women. So too, there is for the courts any place and any time to give lashes to a person that there's bad tidings about him. And the people are murmuring about him, that he's violating illicit relations. As long as the rumors are not stopping, that shows that there's something real to them. Like we explained this in Perek Bezalach Yedal. But only if he doesn't have well-known enemies, who they might be spreading these false rumors, these bad rumors about him. And so do we disgrace this person, that there's bad tidings about him, and they disgrace the one who gave birth to him, meaning to his mother, in front of him, to let her know what her child is like. And so too, a judge always has the rights to declare ownless monies that have owners to them, abid, and cause it as a loss, and to give it according to what they see, ligdur pitzadas, to breach the to fence in the breaches of our law, and to strengthen the cracks that are seen in the wall of our law, or to penalize this difficult person. As Ezra, like it says in Ezra, in Sefer Ezra, and whoever's not going to come in the next 3 days, like the council of the ministers and the elders, his whole estate will be taken away from him. From here we see the Talmudic principle of what the courts declares ownless is ownless, and they have that right. So to the judge has the ability to ostracize, and to excommunicate, even someone that's not really halachically required to be excommunicated, and that is kedei ligdur peretz, to go ahead and fence in the breach, kifi mashiyadar, like according to what appears to him, and bashot tzrich lekach, and that the moment needs this. The Yemen, he should say, shenido bechrimo, that he's putting him in excommunication, ostracizing him, al daitoi, based on his own understanding. The yifarsim chet b'rab, and he should publicize his sin to the public. Shenamak says in the pasuk in Sefer Shaftim, oydu meirois, meirois should be cursed, amma malach Hashem, says the malach of Hashem, Oyru should be cursed, Oyru Yeshveho, her settlers should be cursed, Kilevol Ez Hashem, because they did not come to the help of Hashem. So you see that you specify and you see what the sin is, as we see in here in this pasuk. Halacha Ches. So to the judge should take up a fight with the one that is appropriate to fight with. To curse him, to hit him, and to tear at his hair, to make him swear in the name of God against his will. That he's not going to do, or that he didn't do. Shlomo says in the pasuk in Nehemiah. And he says that, and I fought with them, and I cursed them, and I hit from them the men, and they pulled at their hair, and I made them swear in the name of God. You could also bind their hands and feet together, and to throw them, locked them up in jail, and push them down to the ground, and drag them on the ground. Shlomo says the pasuk in Ezra. Hein lamais, whether to kill, hein lashleish, whether to uproot, hein lanash nixon, whether to punish their properties, lesurin, and to lock them up. All these are rights that the judges have. Halacha yod. Now, kol elu advarim, all these things, alafi mashi yid hadayin shezero lekach, whatever the judge sees fit, that's appropriate for this, v'shashot tzricha, and at the moment needs it. Uva kol yu maistel l'shem shemayim. Now, regarding all this, his action should be for the sake of heaven. It's not like the dignity of the people should be light in his eyes. Kavod HaBriyos, respecting any person, it overrides a negative prohibition that's from rabbinic law. And b'choshkin kavod b'nei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, b'shor the dignity of the sons of Avram Avinu Yitzchak Yaakov, the Jewish people, hamachzikim teres emes, that support the true Torah, shiyazar, that it should be careful shleiharis kavod, and they shouldn't uproot their honor and dignity. Elohaisef b'chved hamakom avad, rather just to increase the dignity of Hashem. Because Shekalim Avazah Zatayr, whoever disgraces the Torah, and those who learn the Torah, Gufa Mechol Alabriyas, his body gets desecrated on the creatures. But Mechabed Zatayr, whoever respects the Torah, Gufa Mechubed Alabriyas, his body is honored on the people. And Ve'in Kveir HaTorah, and what's considered the dignity of the Torah, El Alasas HaPichukeh Meshpateh, to do based on its statutes and its laws. And when a person attempts to make offense for the Torah, and to judge those who breach it, that's considered honoring the Torah. And that's the Kavod HaMakom.